Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime! I'm still a big old think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration. But not for me, and I was sending people somewhere else.
Welcome into Overtime, FanRun Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Live from the FanRun Radio studios, it's a two-person show. Two-man show. It's Two-Man Show Tuesday. It's Will Stevens, Tucker Holt. No John Fulkerson, no Alex Comas in the studio with us any longer. We will have some special guests appearing, probably some members you've heard from The Drive, some members you've heard from Three and Out, and stuff like that popping in every now and then. But as of right now, it is just Will Stevens in the studio with Tucker Holt. Tucker, a Tuesday afternoon, evening-ish time, May 11th. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling all right.
Doing good?
Yeah. I'm ready to embrace being behind the back here with the ones and the twos. You know?
No threes.
No threes, just the ones and the twos. But, you know.
This is pickup basketball.
Yeah.
Go by ones and twos.
I'll adjust well. I'm starting to feel back at home now that I know this is semi-permanent.
Do you feel more natural or out of place?
It's a little out of place, but I'll adjust well. But you know, there is a portion of, like, I'm able to face you better, sort of, because you're facing this way, I'm facing that way. Instead of having to look sideways, I just look forward right at you.
It is a weird dynamic, though. I'm going to have to start facing this way. I've been slowly, like an iceberg, I've been slowly drifting over to the left a little bit and continuously facing this way towards you. This is great radio, talking about the direction I'm facing. But now I get to face this way. And I have to kind of scoot back this way. It's a hard trek.
It's going to be a little different.
Good core exercise, though. These office chairs aren't the most movable, so when you're trying to do it, it's a good core exercise.
Yeah, you get some ab
workout. I'm going to get ripped.
This is your plan? I'm glad I could help.
Yes.
Okay.
This is my plan.
You should release a DVD on how to get abs off of rolling around in a wheelchair. Yeah.
Office chair workouts.
Yeah.
Office chair workouts.
But
that would sell really well with the cubicle guys. I think I could make some money off
some idiots. You can figure something out, like put a spring in it where you like rock back and forth.
Yeah.
Work the obliques.
Have you seen Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I have seen episodes,
have
not
you
all
seen
of it.
The episode where Mac gets a bicycle that has a female toy built into it so he can't sit down on it?
No.
You could throw that in there so people can't sit down in the office chair. It makes it a little bit more challenging. You're constantly doing squats. But a lot of things to get to today, as it's been kind of a slow news day, but some Tennessee news. Obviously, tickets have been sold out for the baseball matchup this weekend versus Arkansas. It's number one versus number four. Both teams tied for first place in the SEC right now. And a huge matchup this weekend as tickets have been sold out. How are you feeling about the baseball's chances? We talked a little bit about it yesterday.
Just
obviously, probably not going to change a lot of our opinions day to day, but tickets sold out. Seems like people are ready to show up. 100% capacity gets announced, and the next day, all three games are sold out.
Right now, my only feelings are jealousy, big time. I'm not going to get to be there. It's going to be an absolutely – people are going to be lunatics and Lindsey Nelson.
There's no Lindsey Nelson legends, though. They have all left for home. College has been let out.
Have they announced that they are gone?
Yes. Like that was an announcement like a week ago.
I haven't been keeping up with them.
About a week ago.
To be honest with you.
A week ago.
That's an old meme. Good way to get that one in there. I forgot about that one.
There's just some things that, like,
they
when
never
you
go
say
away.
Something, yeah. it just breaks you into song or meme, and that's one of those things. You say about a week ago, you got to hit the schmuck.
You
got to
hit it twice, yeah. But, man... regardless of if the Lindsey Nelson the legends of Lindsey Nelson, regardless
how
of the,
could you forget their legends?
Yeah. But regardless of them being there or not, it's still going to be a sold out crowd. And I mean, this will be the first event, you know, on campus of a 100% capacity. People are going to be out of their minds. Rightfully so. Their pitchers are going to be rattled. We're going to get into their heads.
And Rick Butler yesterday, I'm sure other people have mentioned it, but he was the one who I heard mention it on the drive yesterday. Their starting pitching is the Achilles heel, I guess, the thing that you can beat them. If you're doing like a matchup with grading like video games do, we would have that would be the one category we have the upper hand.
Yes.
It's starting pitching. And so a lot of fans in the stands. Could see
get him rattled early
of the starting pitchers.
Yeah, I would like to, you know, hopefully our bats are awake, and I don't think we're going to see the best pitching out of the gate because, I mean, I'm no expert, but if I'm told that the starting pitching isn't great, I assume they're going to come out and be sloppy.
I'm no expert, but Rick Butler isn't, so I'm just going to assume
exactly.
to listen to him.
Default to the more experienced individual.
100%.
That's what I do 100% of the time.
100%. Hit a quick phone call real quick from the Matthew over on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Matthew, you're on overtime, man. What's up?
Going on, guys? It's been a while. Sorry for the late couple days. Well, with the baseball going well, got a question that I think kind of ties in well with our two dominant programs here. So I'll ask the traditional would you rather. Would you rather, taking out football, of course, see the basketball team win a championship or the baseball team win a championship? And then I'll end that with which one do you think is closer to winning a championship? And I'll hang up the most.
Appreciate the phone call, Matthew. As always, a fantastic would you rather question. Tucker.
The basketball one would be bigger.
Were those the two options, basketball and baseball?
Basketball and baseball.
That's what I thought I heard, but I wanted to make sure before I misspoke and sounded like an idiot.
Basketball would be bigger. It would probably be a bigger deal. People would be more excited about it.
Just because it's is it just because it's a bigger money maker?
Yeah,
it's
a bigger
sport.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to rank the sports, no one's going to say baseball is number two.
ESPN doesn't like we talk about this. Obviously, D1 baseball, you have all of the information, but ESPN doesn't even have it on their page. Like,
hardly covers college baseball.
If you don't have a tab,
yeah,
you're not a sport.
It's criminally underrated or underreported,
underappreciated.
Like I wish college baseball could be bigger. It could be a clear top three sport in college, and it gets no love.
Well, I think it's because the drafting rules.
Yeah,
when you can get the top prospects out of high school, like a Mookie Betts type situation, it really does take the love out of it. If we had a number one guy in the class, and no longer do we have a number one guy in the class because a pro called. Like, you don't see that in the NFL, obviously. You don't see that in the NBA because of those new rules. That's like the one sport that's still D1 that people really pay attention to that has not changed those rules. It disgusts me. You could verbally hear my disgust in those rules.
The first one, I think I would lean towards, if I had to choose, I would go basketball. Just because winning that tournament would be absolutely insane. And
what do you think is harder to win?
Harder to win?
The 64 or the having to go through all those regionals playing very, very talented teams every time?
Baseball is an incredibly hard sport. Like, just at basic value.
I guess I don't get too boiled down. Because if you're listening and you're a baseball fan, this is not a debate between basketball and baseball, which sport's harder, because they're equally as hard. Neither of us could go out there and play at a D1 level.
I think there's more moving parts in college baseball. I mean, you're having to, like, a coach is having to manage a starting rotation, you know, substitutions, stuff like that, working around the lineup. With college basketball, you're working lineups, but you've got the same guys all year, every night, starting at barring injury.
You only have 15, 12 guys to do a puzzle with, as opposed to baseball is literally a constant puzzle every time you're putting a lineup out there. I can agree on that in terms of substitution. I would take basketball. I mean,
between the two.
Every single time these conversations come up, I sound stupid, but I'm a basketball fan. Like, yeah. I would take it over football, even though that sounds really upsetting to a lot of football fans. I'm just a bigger basketball guy.
Yeah.
I would much rather see the one sport that I love the most get a championship
sure.
in. And I also think that – I almost said I think we're closer to that, but are we? Like this year, seems like we have a real shot to win or at least do something in the College World Series.
Yeah. Right now, if we're talking like, you know, this where we're at in baseball and where we're at going into next season, I mean, clearly we're closer in baseball. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, we do have the number two recruiting class
yes,
in basketball.
Sure. And they are probably, I think next year's team is closer than any other team we've had of late preseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is a team you look at early on and you're like, okay, this team has the legs they could possibly go and contend for a championship.
And I like that because this year we haven't been getting that. I mean, obviously it's very, very early in the
yes.
offseason / preseason era, but we haven't really been getting that love. I think the highest I've seen us is 12 to 15 area,
uh-huh.
which is still high. Like, that's better than basketball has been before, like, these
if
past
you, yeah,
regimes.
If you told me 10 years ago that would kind of be a common occurrence of being preseason ranked every year,
if I would have told you 10 years ago that being ranked 15 felt like an under-evaluation,
yes.
you would be insanely shocked.
I'd be like, are you sure?
Yeah. So, like, there are those two levels to it. I like that Tennessee isn't being overhyped because I was the one last year who said it, and I hated
mm-hmm.
saying it, and I hated being right. I literally said when I was talking about
yeah.
it, I don't want to be right about this. But you got to temper expectations because this is a very hard thing to do and a very hard tournament to win. That being said, I do think baseball would be the harder tournament to win, but I would 100% 9 times out of 10, probably 10 times out of 10, take the basketball championship just because, I mean, better T-shirts. You get to participate in the whole entire run. Normally, I don't know. I'm not a big baseball watcher. I'm not going to pretend to know everything about the College World Series. But is it usually the top two teams just make their runs and go to the final? Because in basketball, there's a little bit more parity.
Not
so
always.
Is fair enough. I have no idea. Coastal Carolina won it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, they could have been a high favorite or a underdog. I have no idea. I remember, like, UCLA and Vanderbilt obviously have won it. Oh, speaking of Vanderbilt, a little this day in history, I was doing some trivia today, just keeping my brain sharp. The pitcher, Jack Leiter,
yes.
the guy at Vanderbilt,
uh-huh.
his dad on this day in history, Al Leiter, threw a no-hitter in Major League Baseball on this day in history.
Oh,
little fun fact right
okay.
there. And he has two other sons who are probably going to be just as good as his eldest son.
Some people just get blessed with genes, man.
Yep.
Like, it's not really fair. Why was I born so ridiculously average?
You're just going to end it right there.
I mean,
why was I born?
It's a good question. Why was I born? But, man, I think when it comes to college baseball, I like the fact I have a better chance of going and watching this Tennessee baseball team when it comes to just like ticket prices. Not particularly this year because it's been like limited capacity and the buzz around the team. But any given year, if I wanted to go to a Tennessee baseball game other than 2020, 2021, I could get in there pretty much with relative ease.
Other year we haven't been as good as this. I would like to
sure.
think, and I could be wrong. I'm not trying to argue with you,
but I think
like,
they're going to balloon insanely.
Not next year, but I like to think if this year's run happened without COVID protocols and things like that,
yeah.
and you also had last year's run that was able to complete whatever it completed, it would
yeah.
be able to finish out and see what the final result of that season would be. I like to think it would probably be pretty hard to get in. Like, I think it would still be easier
sure.
than
I mean,
getting into Thompson Bowling Arena. But Thompson Bowling
yeah.
Arena also has way more seats. So
sure.
if there's no COVID, I think it's a little bit easier.
I don't think it would be dirt cheap, but I don't know.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just, again, I
yeah.
always play devil's advocate.
Sure. I love the atmosphere of a baseball game.
That's fair. See, I'm a basketball atmosphere guy.
It's a good just being there. The hot dogs get you a cold beer.
Like Chesapeake Arena, peak 2015, going up against
right.
the Heat in the finals. That's about like one of my favorite basketball atmospheres of all time. Just a bunch of loud people. I like basketball arenas' energy.
Yeah.
Thompson Bowling Arena, when we had that win streak going, was
oh, yeah.
probably one of my favorite things to watch. Just the energy. Every time someone threw down a slam, the place explodes. Baseball, I like the atmosphere. Obviously, we went to that Vanderbilt game, and I had a fun time. I was very,
imagine
very
but
loud.
But that was not even close to what it could have been, because that wasn't even a close to capacity crowd.
Oh yeah, no. I
like
get that.
Hearing the crack of a bat and then the crowd exploding in like cheers. it's a straight shot of serotonin.
But I also didn't get to hear us explode in cheers a lot.
Okay, like
we also played. But that's my next point. That's my next point. Is in basketball, you're never going to lose a game 80-0.
Right.
You are going to, and now if Tennessee's playing someone really good or we have a bad game or something, you might lose by 20 and it might suck the whole entire game. But you're never going to lose with 0 points on the board. You're going to have something to celebrate.
Baseball, you do have
that risk of going and just being bored the whole entire time. Now, for people who actually enjoy baseball, you might not be bored the whole entire time. But for someone who's really going just to like you said, hear the crack of the bat and get up off their feet or something like that, it's a little bit more risky to make that play. So I guess that would open the door for it actually being easier to get into. But that's just my thought on baseball versus basketball.
I would be happy with either. Regardless, I think
I'd be mad if we won in baseball.
Yeah,
I'd be pissed.
Yeah, me too.
We'll do a quick break. Come back. More overtime on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hour one of overtime, rolling right along live from the Fandren Radio Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, in here with you. It's very weird. I have to cut myself off every time I want to say more names because I'm used to saying more names. But
you sang four names.
It took me a second to get used to saying four names, especially with Alex being in here. But it is just Will and Tucker in the studio with you guys. But you know who's always with us?
Who's that?
Tim Tebow.
We can't get rid of him.
You cannot get rid of him.
He hangs around.
Just like the man he serves is always, he's omnipotent. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's nowhere at the same time. Tim Tebow back in the news, like always in the news for football, as obviously, I mean, it's no surprise. Urban Meyer trying to get him to join Jacksonville, I guess. It was a tight end job is what was offered to him or is suspected of him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fair. What's your baseline feeling of this before we even start telling joking about this? What is the baseline feeling of Tebow in the NFL?
I mean, when I heard the news, the first thing that I did was laugh. Like it's funny. It's funny. Why is he back in the NFL? The last time he played in the NFL was 8 years ago.
He retired from baseball in February.
He retired from baseball
after never making it.
No, but granted, baseball is a really hard sport to make it to the show. The actual big leagues, you have to be in, you know. I mean, it's the same as the NFL.
But he has the brand going for him. It's so easy to sell tickets when you have Tebow. Sure. So you didn't have – obviously he had to be good. Don't get me wrong. They're not just going to bring him up for a whim.
And he was.
But he didn't have to be as good as the next guy
He had to be average.
He had a little bit of a privilege.
Yeah, he had to be average. And he wasn't even average because an average MLB player is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are better than any baseball player you've ever seen unless you've seen one of them. Baseball shape, you know, fitness is completely different than NFL fitness. Mm-hmm. And also, how old is he?
33 years old.
33. Not as old as I thought he was.
Same age Jesus was when he made his comeback.
That's true.
The exact age.
Yeah.
Many historians believe he was 33 when he made his 3 days comeback.
Well, I mean, then, you know, it's a beautiful metaphor. I just don't know how he's going to come back to football after 8 years and play such a physical position as a tight end. Yeah, you have to block. You can't just, you know, be a pass catcher. I mean, you can. There's guys like that. Like, Travis Kelce isn't the greatest blocker in the world. But when it comes down to it, Travis Kelce's a large, strong man.
Speaking of Chiefs tight ends, did you see where the guy who wanted to convert his whole entire salary into Bitcoin got released today?
Oh, that's tough. No, I had not seen we released him.
They signed another tight end in free agency and drafted a tight end, so it was expected, but sucks for the dude who wanted to make bank. I think he knew what was coming and was just praying that he could get his check in Bitcoin and get out of Dodge, but didn't happen. But Tebow trying to be reunited with former head coach of Florida, current head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Urban Meyer. There was some conversation, and I don't want to get too political, as I always say that, but there were some conversations of different players who are at the exact same age, who have played more recently, and who have a common theme of kneeling, in Colin Kaepernick, who Devin Bush and Dez Bryant were speaking about, asking just questions of how is Tebow in the league but this man isn't. It's a fair question to ask. I also think it's a very funny one's kneeling, one's Tebowing, but that's another topic for another day. But a very, very interesting thought process, I think, of a guy who hasn't thrown a pass since 2016 versus a guy who hasn't thrown a pass since 2012. Just NFL players talking about. Dez Bryant was speaking out as well, just saying, like, man, I know how hard it is to get a job in this league. How is Tebow back in this league? You know what I mean? Like, that was basically his thought process as well. It was a very interesting discussion going on, as it makes a lot of sense. Really, the only thing you can really say is he was Urban Meyer's quarterback.
Yeah,
that's
it.
That's the only...
Yeah, that's why he's on the team. I mean, it's because of that relationship. I think a guy, you know, some of those other guys, if they had a relationship like Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer had, they might have got another shot on another team. I think some of those guys are probably a little more athletic than Tim Tebow right now. I mean, I see the gripe. Mm-hmm. Like, Tim Tebow probably doesn't belong in the NFL right now, just based off, you know, from what I know. He may have, you know, worked his tail off and actually be, you know, in great shape and has, you know, has worked as a tight end. But I just don't see it, man. I don't see it at all. There was talks about whenever he was in the league with the Patriots. Did they not talk about maybe moving him to a tight end role?
Bill Belichick that he was stupid, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously he's changed his tune because he realized, oh my God, I suck at baseball, and I would like some more money. Mm-hmm. And so
SEC Network checks aren't cutting it.
I guess not. I mean, the dude was an analyst very recently, mm-hmm. and now he's going back to the. It doesn't make sense. I don't think he plays a snap.
I don't either. I don't think this is going to work out. I don't even know if it happens.
I don't think he's on the 53-man roster at the end of the, like, whenever the season rolls around.
It's definitely going to be interesting. And unless
he completely shocks the world.
I think it's a very peculiar situation because the talk of a lot of things is you don't want to bring in the off-field baggage or the drama guys, the attention getters, if you will, and that's the reason why some other guys have not been brought on to teams,
sure.
such as a Dez Bryant, such as a Colin Kaepernick, guys mm-hmm. who are drama queens and who have had off-the-field issues, regardless of if you agree with the issues or whatever the issue is off the field still. I mean, Tebow is an attention getter.
Yes.
I don't want to say off-the-field issues, but like, dude has always been the focal point, mm-hmm. the loudest, and regardless of if you agree with his religious beliefs or not, you have to say that that is a, not issue, but an off-the-field,
yes.
attention-getting thing mm-hmm. comparatively to everything else. So if you don't agree with his Christianity beliefs, then you have the same thing as if you don't agree with someone who's not in the league for their political beliefs.
Sure.
It's a very, very interesting situation to look at and see why. But it makes sense for Urban Meyer to want a guy who was the leader, Heisman Trophy winner, got him a natty. I mean, it makes sense for Urban to want him. It just doesn't make sense for Urban to actually...
go do it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it makes sense for Urban to have that connection. It does not make sense for Tim Tebow to be in the NFL at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for the other guys. Like, I think Dez Bryant's done. I think Kaepernick's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really the conversation I'm trying to have. But it doesn't make sense for Tebow to be playing football anymore.
Yeah, like kind of what you're saying right there is, like, I understand why Urban Meyer, like, had the thought and had the idea. You can't follow through on it.
No.
Like, what are you doing, buddy?
No.
What are you doing? I guess maybe he just, like, wanted to hang out with
Tebow. Is he going to go grab Percy Harvin, too? Like, go pick up Riley Cooper was on that team, too, I believe. I could be wrong on that. Like, are you just going to go pick up every single former Florida player that's still living and not in prison?
Yeah, but...
because that's only five of them.
Would they snatch the headlines like Tim Tebow just did?
No.
No. That's why. I think that's why. We're talking about Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Regardless of how we're talking about
a new Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback, not named Trevor Lawrence, their number one overall pick.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
I think Tim Tebow thinks he's a false prophet with his long hair, and he wanted to steal the news from him.
Does he have long hair now?
Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, my bad. I thought
Tim.
Tim thinks.
I got you.
When, the way you said Tim Tebow thinks he's a false prophet with his long hair, I thought Tim Tebow grew his hair out and convinced himself he was his own false prophet.
No. Trevor Lawrence being called touchdown Jesus.
Yeah.
I think TDJ. I think that made him a little mad. So he was like, you know what? I'm gonna steal the news away from him.
Or maybe he thought he was the second coming, and he was like, I can't not be best friends.
He's got to be on that guy's team. Yeah, he has to.
I don't know. I have a little bit of a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
What if there's some trouble in paradise?
Between Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars?
What if he already wants out and Tebow's the replacement?
Oh, wow. If that's where you go, if that's your first phone call, Urban, You've got some
not
issues.
Aaron Rodgers or
The guy who wants out of town. He's in Lambeau where it's negative 30 all year round. You don't think he might want to go to Jacksonville? Try to maybe turn that around? I don't think your first phone call is Tim Tebow.
It's fair. Probably one of my worst conspiracy theories.
The minor league reject. Man.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, though, the Aaron Rodgers trickle-down effect has begun, according to ESPN, and the first player that it could impact is Davante Adams.
Ooh, what is that? What do you mean by the trickle-down?
Adam is in his final year of his contract, and if quarterback Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay, it could complicate things for Adams in Wisconsin.
Why is that?
If he's in the final year of his contract, he might not want to stay if they can't work out things with Aaron Rodgers. He might have to play one season with Jordan Love or whoever the hell is throwing him the football, but if you don't have Aaron Rodgers and you're in the final year of your contract, exactly, A, it's going to hurt your value because you're not going to be able to have what everyone calls the contract year where you step up because he's already been putting up insane numbers. Mm-hmm. But also, without Aaron Rodgers, it would just be, you wouldn't want to stay longer. Even if you had to go through 1 year, you wouldn't re-sign after that year. So it puts both levels in jeopardy of ruining Davante Adams' value and also screwing over the Packers in terms of not being able to keep their only receiver that's really worked out from the draft. We went through it last week with their draft picks, and the only first-round pick that's not been a defensive player was a quarterback.
Yeah.
Crazy. But Davante Adams is the only one who's really worked out for them at wide receiver through the draft, and to not be able to re-sign him off of his final year is going to be a big knock for the Green Bay Packers.
It would set them back a decade.
And he did have the tweet when everything happened of, you got to, like, I think his quote was, you got to hold on. I don't want to misquote this, man. I'm going to go find the tweet because it was a very good tweet. Oh, I just unplugged my headphones. I can't hear myself.
Oh, no.
It's all good. I scared myself, though. But he said, this is not the tweet. This is an appearance on Fox Sports Radio. Potentially. That's my guy, Adam said Monday during the interview. That's the only guy I've had other than that 2017 season when he got hurt. That's the only guy I've played with. We've built up a special connection over the years that has put both of us in really good positions in our career. Not that he needed me to come along for it because he'd already had that spot, but we've established a lot together. So it would change a lot. Doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but I'd definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here.
I wouldn't blame him. I mean, that's a tough drop-off. You know, no matter who they replace him with, if it is Jordan Love, it's steep. Mm-hmm. It's very, very steep. You can't really fill those shoes. You can only try to just minimize the damage of losing Aaron Rodgers. I think you would see a production drop-off from him.
For sure.
Clearly. And it would negatively affect his contract. I wouldn't blame him for wanting out, honestly.
And it also could lead to him being the number one target. And even if he has an equal number of receptions or anything like that, being that number one target to a rookie or to a first-year guy who's finally making his start, if you are the number one target for this rookie, it can also then ruin the rookie's chances of developing as well if you leave. There's a lot of dominoes, a lot of that trickle-down effect that ESPN is talking about right here. His May 3rd tweet was the last tweet he's sent out in a while. And it just says, gotta appreciate what you got while you got it.
He could, try to, if you don't get traded, if you don't get out of town, it would be, I would try to be like, hey, I'm going to stay. But just so you know, we're losing Aaron Rodgers. I want you to understand that. My production will probably go down. I want more money still. You know who I am. You know what I can do. If you want to keep me, you got to pay me. Mm-hmm. And, that's really you have to kind of hold that boulder over the GM and the owner's heads. And, because at this point, what else they got, on that offense?
Aaron Jones, and that's it.
And is Aaron Jones as good as Davante Adams? Is Aaron Jones as good of a running back as Davante Adams as a wide receiver?
No.
No. Davante Adams is the best player on your team now. He's already number two. He's about to be number one.
He said, obviously, I would love to. I can't wait until I can tell you he's back and we're doing our thing that we've been doing. But for now, you've got to iron out a few things. Hopefully, I'll be back on the show and we'll be celebrating, taking shots and whatnot. We all know this is pretty intense business. There's a lot that has to happen, a lot that goes on here. Just like any other job, you want to be happy and once you've gained that respect, you want to be treated with that type of respect. There's certain things that I can speak on specifics that I can't speak on specifics, but there are certain things that he wants, and maybe the club wasn't so excited about living up to right away. Aaron Rodgers asking for too much. Packers are not shelling enough out. It's an interesting thought. We'll be right back.
Okay.
My bad. No, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. That was my closing thought.
Oh. Well, I was just going to say that it's the Packers' fault.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll Aaron Rodgers as well. Let's go.
Final segment of hour two of, or hour one of overtime. Starting hour two next segment. I'm already getting ahead of myself. I'm ready to get out of here.
We're moving right along.
I mean, I just hate doing a two-person show so much.
Yeah, me too.
Gonna get out of here. No, I kid. But speaking of getting out of here, how about the Oakland A's wanting to get out of Oakland? Getting the hell out of Dodge, as the older people say, from Gunsmoke, I believe that's from.
Yeah. I hate that Twitter is an echo chamber. I would like to go ahead and throw that out there. Because
I don't know what that means. Hold on.
An echo chamber is where, you know, I follow only Tennessee accounts. So the only tweets I saw about that news
were Nashville.
Was them moving to Nashville. So I have already tricked myself
into thinking
that it's going to happen when there's.
Likely they're just going to probably stay close to California.
Probably. Yeah, they'll probably stay in California or in the West. Because if they did move to Nashville, unless they added another expansion team, they would play in the AL West in Tennessee, which would be kind of weird.
Kind of like the Grizzlies?
Sure. Yeah, but it would be.
Very different. Divisions are very different in baseball, a little bit series dependent and stuff like
so,
that.
Yeah, so, I mean, they would be flying out west constantly, all the time. So that would be a little rough, but I like how it's a possibility. I would love. I don't care who it is. I saw someone say that they think the Rays will eventually move and they could move to Nashville. I would love that. That would make me very happy.
It would be a peculiar situation for Braves fans to be in.
Yeah, oh, 100%. And me as a Red. Like, I would still be a Reds fan, but I would go to a ton of Nashville Rays games. Like, that would be awesome.
Nashville Rays?
Yeah.
I don't hate that.
They could change the name. I don't care.
Nashville Billy Rays.
Billy Ray's?
Like Billy Ray Cyrus. Instead of Devil Rays, just do a little country music special.
Put a mullet on a stingray. That would work.
Nashville Billy Ray's.
Yeah. I like the Stars, though. Have you seen that? The Nashville Stars? I think that's what they tried to call. They were talking about calling them.
I have not seen that.
Because you're the TriStar.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I get that, yeah.
Like the mock-ups of where the stadium would be and stuff like that. Like it would be awesome.
I want something new. I don't want to be... Like Dallas already has the Stars in
sure,
hockey.
Sure, I guess that's true.
I want... If we're going to do something, I either want it to be a very, very normal thing like Bulldogs or Cowboys or something stupid like that. Stick
sure,
with me.
Sure.
Or something brand new, never been done before. Or keep the same name. But I don't want to just like...
Something like...
I don't want to be the Hawks. Yeah. I don't want to be the Stars where there's only a couple of teams like that. And so we're a little original, but not really. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I kind of... So you're wanting to do something like... who is it? What's the name? I'm getting really mad at myself. Seattle. Like what Seattle did in the NHL? The Kraken?
Yeah, that, I mean,
would you be
a sick logo.
Like, yeah, like something like that. Not the Kraken, but something, you know, out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we could be, you know? Like, I
we could be, so Tennessee state animals are the Tennessee cave salamander, the zebra swallowtail butterfly, the Tennessee walking horse, the smallmouth bass, channel catfish, northern mockingbird.
The raccoons in there?
The mule, the raccoon, and the... Gyrinophilosis, which is a type of salamander as well.
Okay.
The Tennessee salamanders has a decent ring. The Tennessee walking horses.
We could be the salamanders. I would actually be cool because you could have some decent uniforms mm-hmm. with that. Have it like that. You know how a salamander looks. It's like different colors.
During a rebuild, we're just in our. Actually, I was about to make a frog joke. I was going to say we're in our tadpole stage, but they're reptiles.
We could be the toads. The bullfrogs.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
The Tennessee bullfrogs. There's a lot of those in Tennessee.
Ribbit, yeah. Yeah, for sure. What about the A's? If the A's came to town with the Oakland Athletics, would you want to keep uniform colors, athletics, everything? Like, it's a very original brand.
I would be fine with it, yeah.
Green and yellow.
Yeah, because it's not really region specific. like the Devil Rays, or you know, now they're just the Rays. That's pretty ocean. Yeah. You know, like yeah,
it's an oceanic type.
They are a coastal state, like that, you know, they have oceans touching their state. It wouldn't really make a lot of sense in Tennessee.
It's like the Yankees. You can't put the Yankees in
Georgia.
Exactly.
Like they're a northern team. That's what they are. But the A's, that's just the Athletics. Like that plays anywhere.
Yeah.
Like move anywhere you want, Oakland. You're fine.
Yeah. They used to be in Philly. They would call the Phillies. That's where the Phillies get their name.
I can't tell. There's times I can't tell when you're joking.
Look it up.
Okay.
The Athletics were originally from Philadelphia. People in Philadelphia called them the Phillies. And it stuck. I'm dead serious. Google it. Google it right now. Google it right now. They were called the Phillies. Or they were called like the Phil A's because they were the Philadelphia A's, the Philadelphia Athletics, and it got shortened, and that's where they came from, the Philadelphia
Phillies. They did leave Philly. They were in Philly. Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to read much more into it. They were in Philly at one point.
Will's
whatever.
Right.
Go with it. Whatever. I don't even care. I'm not fighting it. That's fine with me.
What about Golden State, man? Like they've done that. Oakland has had trouble keeping these sports teams before. Golden State didn't get their new building. They ended up having to go all the way over to San Francisco, I believe, over in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Very close, but still, like that could happen here where the A's move. And like Oakland and San Francisco are two very different places, even though they're very close to each other.
Yeah, they are.
And Oakland, like I'm not a Californian. I've never been to California.
Yeah.
I would assume Oakland probably needs a little bit more help in terms of the financial aspect than San Francisco does with Silicon Valley and all of those other things very, very close there.
Yeah, regardless of how Oakland's doing, San Fran is doing pretty well.
In terms of just people at the top. Now, there's definitely an insane homeless population, and that's and all those things
stuff,
that get figured out. But in terms of just top dollar.
Straight money, digits.
Silicon Valley people are richer than the Oakland people, I'm assuming. Like I don't really know what's going on there, but it's going to be interesting. The A's, who have played in Oakland since 1968, have prioritized building a waterfront stadium in downtown Oakland at the Howard Terminal site. But after years of failed stadium plans and weeks after the organization asked for the city council to vote on a $12 billion mixed-use development before its late July summer recess, the long-anticipated specter of the A's looking into relocation became a reality on Tuesday. The future success of the A's depends on a new ballpark. It's a quote from the A's owner. I have a question about that. It's a question that's been kind of circulating in Tennessee. We kind of are talking about the A's going to Nashville. I want to get kind of away from that in just terms of it's been talked a lot. And I think we had this conversation when we were at the baseball game. The new stadium. Now, obviously, college and pros are a lot different in terms of what generates revenue and all of these different things and how to keep coaches along, and that's not what I'm trying to talk about exactly, but is it really that much of a major impact to get a new stadium? Now, I realize like you can't have one that's falling apart. Like Candlestick at its latest ages in San Francisco for the 49ers, was a hazard, and they had to get out of there. Like there's places like that where it's just so old, you genuinely need a new stadium. But when they say, like, the future success of the Athletics depends on a new ballpark, as a non-baseball watcher, that statement just seems silly to me. It seems like an owner uses an excuse to get a new ballpark. Is that very, like, do new stadiums really have that major of an impact in the revitalization of the sport? Because in other sports, like football, basketball, I don't think, like, obviously it helps, but I don't think that is that determines any sort of success for basketball or football or sports like that. Is it different in baseball?
Well, with Oakland, it's a what they're using right now is the Oakland Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
It's referred to as a multi-purpose stadium. So like,
but wasn't that only when the Raiders were still playing there?
Yes, but the outlet, like the layout of the stadium, isn't your typical baseball stadium. Mm-hmm. Like you're a little further away, like back behind home plate and on the edges near the plates. Like it's more of a it's
a multi-use stadium.
Yes, like it loses a little bit from each sport.
Okay.
Like as a football stadium, it's very round, you know, you end up far away from the state or the field, and with baseball it's the same way. It doesn't make for a great viewing experience from the outside looking in. I've never been to a game there, but just looking at the way it looks, it has its downsides compared to other stadiums. I can see that as a reason of why you would want to change, to actually look like, because you look at a classic MLB ballpark, man. Like, they've got a feel to them. This feels like it doesn't have a soul. And that sounds mean, but like it doesn't have that baseball shape, feel, the way the upper decks. It looks like a football stadium that's in a circle, mm-hmm. is really what it looks like. So just kind of getting a new home for the team. In the grand scheme of things, it's not a really big difference, but due to fan experience and stuff like that, and people will go to a new stadium.
That's fair. That's fair. Again, I ask because I'm not a giant baseball fan. Right. But as a non-baseball fan, and even subtracting myself from sports in general, it just seems like if someone was living in a decent house, they're living in a decent house. It's not the worst house, but it's not the best house. It's just a very middle-of-the-road house. Some things are broken. You got to get them fixed, or you can just move into a new house. But in this case, it's a $12 billion house that the people are going to have to pay for and not the person who's moving into the house. That's where my brain goes of how much of an impact would it have to generate revenue. If someone's having to pay for $12 billion of a stadium, is it going to generate $12 billion back into who's paying for its pockets?
You eventually, know what I mean?
And I guess that's a question up for interpretation, because if baseball has been rising as of recently, very recently, but it's also declining as of a whole when you look at it. If it was a stock, the one-year preview is kind of growing.
Yeah.
But if you looked at the 10-year preview, it is sliding very mm-hmm. much down. I don't like to think, but I think based off of how everything's going.
Yeah, it's much lower than it was 25 years ago.
For sure. Oakland is a great baseball town, and we will continue to pursue our waterfront ballpark project. We will also follow MLB's direction to explore other markets. Again, it's a very weird and peculiar thing, but that's all for this segment. We'll be right back. Hour two next. Hour two, overtime. Getting started here from the Fandom Radio Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in the studio with you guys going up until 8 p.m. Like always, I want to talk about something that we might disagree. I might get some flack for saying this. I might, because it's a, I don't want to say controversial, but I feel like very supported thing. Take from Vol Nation last night, as I saw someone who normally gets around 2 likes per tweet get close to 100 something when I saw it last night, and I'm sure it's over 100 likes right now with no quote tweets, no comments, just quite possibly one of the perfect tweets if you think in terms of ratioing.
Sure.
But I disagreed with it, and it took me a long time to just click save to drafts and save it for radio instead of trying to tweet and get dunked on by a bunch of Vol people who I rightfully so probably would have gotten dunked on. But the take was people were upset that people were publicly congratulating Henry To'oto'o on his transfer.
People were
saying that it shows a lack of competitiveness and that they lost a fan right then and there, and it shows that they're not a good competitor and that they deserve to be unfollowed, they don't deserve starting jobs. All these different things were associated with just congratulating Henry To'oto'o on committing to a quote-unquote rival. Now, obviously, Alabama's a rival in our eyes, but it's not a rival in their eyes, so it's not as heated. It's not our number one rivalry as it was a long time ago. I heard Josh Pate talk about it earlier. The third Saturday on October is not quite what it was before. It doesn't have the same meaning to guys my age. Now, it has the same meaning to me because I'm a Vol fan.
Right.
I've known the third Saturday. I've worn the button. I've worn the Beat Bama button. I've worn the Butch Please button. I've worn all these buttons my whole entire life. But to guys who are not from here, like a Henry To'oto'o who's from California, like some guys who are from Georgia, are guys who are not from Tennessee being recruited here, don't really have the same definition of third Saturday in October. People were upset that they were getting that Henry To'oto'o was getting congratulations from his former teammates. Before I give my take, because I think you can probably guess where I'm going with this, how do you feel about that take of you should not congratulate someone who's going to a rival because it shows you are not a competitor?
The players congratulating him.
Yes. Our players.
That's perfectly fine with me. They are, at the end of the day, those guys have sweated and bled and worked their asses off together. They've put in tons of work. Sure. Us fans, people who watch, who do not participate and practice and play, it's very easy to cast someone aside because we don't have a personal relationship with Henry To'oto'o. We don't know him. We watched him on the field. We've seen him, you know, play extremely well as a linebacker for the Tennessee Vols, and that's why we liked him.
Mm-hmm.
We feel betrayed, sure, but at the end of the day, we had no personal relationship with him personally to where, you know, it's much easier for us to be mad as fans. And I was very mad, and I still am. I'm not happy about him going. I'm not mad at him. I don't think he did the wrong thing. He's probably doing what's best for his career if he can get a starting job. I think he's pretty talented. He probably could.
I don't know if he'll get a starting job this year, but he'll definitely be a contributor this season. He'll start sometime.
Yeah. He's a great linebacker. He's a great football player. His own teammates, like, those are your brothers, man. Like, you've been through a lot with those guys. I would be a little shocked if our players instantly attacked him on Twitter or on social media and were outwardly aggressive towards him. I would think, you know, I'd be like, wow, come on, man. Like, at the end of the day,
I can't wait till we play Bama because there's going to be a brawl between us. Like, I think that would be worse than saying, hey, good job on getting another place to play football at and do what you love.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sorry. Congratulating friends is not bad.
No. If you
go join a different radio station, if it's let's take Mr. Trey Wallace for an example.
Sure.
Trey Wallace was a fantastic reporter. He was our beat reporter at Fox Sports Knoxville. He goes over and joins Rocky Top Insider, which is a competitor technically.
Yeah.
They do the same type of stuff we do in terms of reporting about Tennessee football.
Nobody attacked Trey.
Trey still comes on the drive.
Yeah.
Like, people are still friends with him now. It's a little bit different because you have to be competitive in football, but it doesn't take away your competitive drive to congratulate a friend on an accomplishment.
No.
Here's the tweet that I disagreed with. I'm not going to give a person a shout out or anything. I'm just going to read the tweet. I agree with @SwainEvent. I'm assuming they're a listener of the show who was listening to their show and was tweeting at him. Publicly congratulating your now ex-teammate is slapping your coaches and fans in the face. This should bother you as a competitor, and I guess this one is competing for those retweets and likes. # tone deaf.
Take it easy, bro. At the end of the day, it's a sport. It's a game. Yes, it is life to these guys, and we really, really care about football. But at the end of the day, they're friends, dude.
Let me just read some of the replies to
they're
you.
Friends.
Social media has ruined sports. I said this very thing in different words to the player that I saw congratulating him on transferring. That type of stuff should not happen. No way. At least don't do it in a public forum. Those optics are terrible.
Being nice to an ex-teammate?
Haven't we been talking about the culture being bad?
Yeah.
Have we not talked about the teammates not getting along? The brawls in the locker room was the biggest issue under the Butch
Jones.
Falling
on helmets.
Exactly. Like, these things have been issues, and now you have guys who are being nice, who are having a good culture, regardless if guys are leaving or going. You can congratulate someone. Like, if I have an ex-girlfriend. Shocker. Yes, I know. I had a girlfriend at one point, and she broke up with me.
Right?
That's not the shocker. Her being my ex is not a shocker. Her being my girlfriend in the first place was the shocker. We'll get past that. We can move on. It's not that big of a shock. Calm down, people. Thank you. I can still congratulate them on anything they do. Like,
yeah,
like if she
sure.
graduates college, I can say congratulations. It's not. It doesn't take away my ability to. I'm not hung up on that person. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, you can congratulate someone and still maybe not even like them.
Right. Sure.
Like, that's just called common courtesy. And to
right.
say that common courtesy takes away from your ability to be a competitor, I think is one of the worst takes as a Vol fan you can have. It's just insanely stupid. And the fact that got 170 likes, or 140-something likes.
Sure. But don't get too overworked when it comes to 100 people. That's a drop in the bucket. Of all fans, I don't think all of all fans want our players to attack.
Yeah, like you were
Henry
saying,
To'oto'o.
Like you were saying earlier, people live in an echo chamber.
Yes, exactly.
I live in an echo chamber of the tweets I interact with are the ones I disagree with the most. So I always see tweets that I disagree with on my timeline because the algorithm knows that's what's going to get me to interact with those tweets.
Yes, that is. So I don't think that is a common. You know, I don't think everyone thinks that. I think people who do think that are wrong. I don't have a problem with. Someone congratulating an ex-teammate at all.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of bad tweets, did you see, obviously, RIP Colt Brennan, a very sad story there.
Did you
read up on the story in general? The story was, as I read it on ESPN, he had gotten in a car wreck a little bit back, had been going through rehab to get through that, had kind of had an issue with alcohol and drugs, some previous DUIs, things like that. This is all like his father talking to ESPN, so it's pretty primary source type stuff. and he's talking about his son's issues with these things, and they talk about him going to a rehab center and being turned away because they did not have enough beds, and then now months later, mm-hmm. unfortunately, he has passed away as he had a OD. He had used something that had fentanyl in it, and fentanyl forced him to pass away. But the bad tweet was AJC Sports in the headline. Yeah. Quarterback in 2008.
Gutless.
Quarterback in 2008, who Georgia defeated in the Sugar Bowl, has died. The thing that made me the most mad, like, headline is bad, optics are bad, but if you, like, that's what gets clicks, that's what gets the ratio, you get your name on the page regardless. Like, I hate you, and you're a terrible human being, but you get clicks. Like, that, like,
right, that's what it does.
That's the game. That's
the
game.
Sure.
They didn't even write the article. It was the AP article, the AP press article, the Associated Press article, copied and pasted, and then they just changed the headline and posted it.
Yeah, they generated revenue off of those clicks. It's gross. It's gross.
Yeah, they tweeted out today a headline on a story regarding the death of Colt Brennan, posted today, was insensitive. The headline has been changed. You want to know the headline has been changed to?
What did it change to?
Quarterback in 2008 Sugar Bowl has died. That's the updated title.
Okay. That's what we're going to boil him down to as a person. Like, it's pretty wrong. It's pretty disgusting.
May break
the record for being ratioed.
Speaking of records, this man owned almost all of the quarterback records until Joe Burrow broke them.
Yeah.
And never won a Heisman.
No.
Put Hawaii football on the map. The mm-hmm. Rainbow Warriors, bro.
Had me at, I guess I was like 9 years old, watching Hawaii football at 10:30 at night with my dad.
He walked so people like Jordan and Lynch mm-hmm. of Northern Illinois could run.
Yeah. He was incredible. Mm-hmm.
It's a very tragic story, especially with that part of him trying to get help and being turned away.
Yeah.
There's got to be something done about the system that is in place right there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. A very tragic story, a very bad tweet. You can only hope it breaks the ratio record, as right now it is sitting at 18 likes, 383 quote tweets, and 312 replies. So up there for one of the worst ratios of all time.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
Just bad.
Just bad. There's nothing else to talk about it. Very tragic situation. I don't know. I can't stand it. If you're going to be a sports journalist, A, don't be copying and pasting. Like if you want to be that site that gets the clicks, that does those types of things. We've had our experience with people getting mad at us for the clicks. We had it all of last season when we were talking about Trey Wallace earlier. Like, when Trey Wallace was doing these reportings, we had all these people saying, we're doing it for clicks. We're doing it for clicks. At least we're writing our own articles. You can't copy and paste an article and then change the headline to get those clicks. It's wrong. It's stupid, especially over someone's death. Overtime continues after this break. We'll be right back. Hour two of overtime rolling right along from the Fandom Radio Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in the studio with you guys going up until 8 p.m. as always. Tucker, did you see the breaking news?
Like very recent?
Recent to me. It's very breaking news.
Yeah, what is it? I have not seen it.
Cats can fall for optical illusions just like humans.
Oh, really?
Cats can fall for optical illusions just like humans. According to NPR, cats are just as easy. Pet cats, I should say. Take the if I sits test for the optical illusion, where they have different circles making different shapes. Little Pac-Man making a square, and then one face in the opposite direction where you don't have a space to sit in, and the cat sits in the solid square, even though they're both the exact same dimension separated. It's a very interesting thing. Very interesting thing. Quote from here, cats are funny. Cats are weird and quirky.
They are.
And we love them for it.
I love cats.
And that makes them hard to study in some ways, because we are often so reliant on training parrot. And cats aren't very motivated to be trained. Science people, dude, using huge words. Cats aren't very motivated to be trained. There are two types of very informal theories as to why they may sit in a box.
They like to sit in boxes.
Yeah.
So, like, they've been trying to figure out why they sit in boxes?
Yeah, apparently. I thought it was a very interesting article that cats can fall for optical illusions.
That is
as well.
A little weird. I would expect their eyes and their depth perception and the way they, like, see the world to be, like, decently different from us. But, I mean, I wouldn't expect it. No, I would expect their eyesight to be better than ours. You know?
Apparently they have night vision.
They do. Yeah. You ever seen a, like a...
I've seen a cat before.
No, but you ever taken like a... Seen a light flash? Like, you ever seen... I'm trying to think of how to word this correctly. You ever pulled up like in a car and there's a cat like a good distance away, but they're looking in the direction of the light and their eyes are glowing?
Yeah, it's like the video of the giant pile of raccoons and all you see is the eyes from that meme.
It, it looks terrifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, cats can see in the dark. I would think that since they're... I mean, when it comes to being a predator, they're little. They're tiny little guys. But if they were our size, who's winning? Who's running the world?
If they were our size, they would just be big cats.
Sure. But they're not here. And they're not, like, roaming.
Well, they are in Houston.
They are in
and
Houston.
And it could be the same tiger that we saw from over the summertime as the dude was... I mean, it was owned by a guy who was out on bond for murder.
The one in Houston?
Houston, yes.
Was that... Was it ever confirmed that there was a tiger in Knoxville?
It wasn't unconfirmed.
I mean, I don't ever remember anybody saying, like, no, it was a bobcat. Or, like, so it just kind of...
Yeah.
It was said, hey, there's a tiger. Someone saw a tiger, and then it just went radio silent.
The tiger that got held by gunpoint. And did you not see the video?
No. So this happened. When did this happen?
Yesterday.
Oh my God!
I think I mentioned it to y'all. I maybe didn't. I had it in my notes. I had it in my notes to bring up, but we had such a good show, I didn't bring it up. But
under
the cats topic, we can bring this up. The tiger had gotten out apparently, so they didn't know where it was from. But the one of my favorite news interviews of all time, because like it's up there with like the leprechaun sighting. It's up there with the guy who was looking for an aggravated assault man, and the picture pops up and it's identical to the news anchor who's talking. It is up there with some of the best local news stories I've ever seen, where this dude being interviewed and he goes, well, I mean, I picked up on a couple signs earlier because I saw a monkey poking around the other day, and I was like, okay, so you saw a chimpanzee and you didn't say anything to anybody. But
that's
you just
normal.
You had. Like, he was like, a few months ago, a chimpanzee had gotten out in the neighborhood before, and it went away, and no one said anything about it. And so he was like, but I saw this tiger, and this tiger's big. I didn't know if it was ferocious, so I walked outside with my pistol and said, hey, tiger, calm down. And there's a video of this guy just holding a tiger at gunpoint, and the tiger just is a tiger. It's just walking up, walking around. It's a friendly tiger. It's I don't want to say domesticated.
But someone, not... completely wild.
Yes. And so there's a video of the owner walking up to it, giving it a kiss on the head, and then grabbing it by its leash and walking it back indoors before running away with the tiger because he's on bond for murder and you're going to get arrested for having your tiger get out.
Yep. And you draw attention to yourself when you have a tiger. What are you doing? Yeah. If you're trying to keep a low profile, you're doing a bad job.
What's the oldest saying in the book? If you're driving with drugs, don't speed. If you're driving with alcohol in the car, don't break another law. Make sure you buckle up type
deal.
One
law at a time.
Exactly.
You broke one. Murder. That's a big one, so you're going to have to be extra careful. No jaywalking. No nothing. Don't go get a tiger. What are you doing? Like, what's the thought process there?
What if you got asked to cat sit for someone and you walked in and they had a tiger?
They're like, yeah, no, we got some steaks in the freezer. Just put one out. It'll defrost. He'll eat it when he's ready.
We have whole rabbits just ready to go.
Yeah, they are alive. We'll need you to kill those first because he's a little bit of a spoiled baby.
Would you prefer lethal injection or just snap in the neck?
We have a knife if you're a little crazy. But also, he loves to sleep in the bed with people, so you're going to have to let him sleep in the bed with you at night.
But one of my favorite parts, and it's not my favorite part because of the actual of what happened or what this lady's saying, but just the way the lady said it, the interaction with this lady. This lady was apparently having a Mother's Day picnic outside with her and her five little children playing outside in the front yard when all of this was happening, and never noticed.
Never
noticed
that
there was a tiger being held by gunpoint two houses down.
What kind of world are these people living in?
West Houston,
where the
man.
One guy sees a chimpanzee and it's like, yeah, we saw a chimpanzee last week, whatever. And old, like you said, it was a grandmother.
It was just some mom.
Some mom. It's so casual. You hear tigers aren't exactly quiet,
and especially when someone's holding at gunpoint saying,
"He was
hey,
probably
tiger,
yelling,
freeze,
hey, tiger." The word tiger
just
must
comply,
have been,
tiger, just yeah, comply.
Must have been said a couple times. You hear the word tiger, maybe some roars. You know, the guy's probably a little frantic, and you don't even look up. What world do you live in? Where are you? What is Houston like?
Because even then, you're like, okay, maybe the Woods, the golfer, is in town. That'd be pretty sick. Like,
that, if, I'm looking
if the
up.
If the golfer is being held at gunpoint,
yeah,
that'd be pretty cool.
I might turn my head for that. I mean, come on. But maybe she's just a really dedicated mother, you know?
Perhaps.
I mean, eyes on the kids, granted. If your eyes are only on the kids, that won't really matter when that tiger... Yeah, what are you going to do?
Now you're just watching the kid get eaten by a tiger.
Yeah, don't look at that.
Look away.
Kids, maybe
look
take
away.
The kids inside, you know?
But
head
no,
on a swivel.
Speaking of videos and back to the cats can fall for optical illusions, one of my favorite cat videos, and I didn't realize it until I watched this video again in this article, is it's just a YouTube video titled "My Cat Can See the Rotating Snake Illusion." It's the circle, all the circles that have the rotating snake going through an optical illusion. And it's just a cat with a piece of paper in front of it, and it is going nuts on the piece of paper, proving that cats can see optical illusions.
Wow.
Cats are just as dumb as us when it comes to falling for those types of things. Which makes me think, you think you could do, like, magic on a cat?
Yeah, well...
Like, because you've seen, have you seen the video of the chimpanzee in the zoo when the dude is doing the coin trick, and the chimpanzee goes
nuts? Yeah. I know for sure, after that video, it works on monkeys, chimpanzees at least. I think you might be able to do it to a cat.
I might,
because I think
I might
they,
do that tonight. I know a couple magic tricks.
I know dogs have it's called object permanence or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like they know something's there, but if you it'll shock them if it's not there whenever you move it.
That's why fetch is sick.
Yeah, I believe dogs have object permanence, and let's be honest here. If we're thinking intelligence, I think a cat's probably smarter.
Cat's up there.
Cat's pretty smart.
It's like dolphin, pig, and cat is like the top three animals.
Sure. Yeah, dolphin, it's pretty high up there.
Dolphins have their own language.
Them and octopi, you know, they're doing pretty
good.
Well,
those are aliens.
Sure, but they're smart.
Well, any other life form would be smart.
Right. I think you could do magic on a cat. The only problem would be keeping the cat's attention, because the cat doesn't care.
Magic the cat.
The cat-thering?
Cat, no, that sounds like a catheter. Or what is it?
Magic the catheter?
Isn't
magic
the
gathering?
You have to pee through a tube?
Catheter? Yeah, that's what you pee through a tube, I don't know what that has to do with magic, though. You
I
could call me that. Could be magic.
Yeah.
You're, you know, I will make my
liquid's in my body.
I'm gonna make.
I can make it disappear.
I'm gonna make my pee end up in this bag over there. Voila! That's what Houdini was doing back in the day.
Dang! Put a copper rod in there. Be David Copperfield.
Ha! Hilarious.
Thank you.
That's
thank
pretty
you,
good.
Thank you.
It was all right.
I think those are all the magicians I can go through that have metal-based pun names.
Yeah, well, that's all of them. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. David, yeah. David Blaine, David.
David Bronze. Man, you're trying.
David Payne when I pee.
Okay, sure.
Decent.
I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate though.
Harry Duweenie. We'll be right
back. Okay. All right then. All right.
Hour two, rolling right along. Final segment of hour two. Two-person show kind of goes quickly when you're just joking around sometimes, man.
You know, we started out like this. We're back to our roots.
This
reminds me of when it was me and Tanner, and then when it was me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And then we grew into a little family for a little bit.
We poached Folky, and then we got Mr. Crowdell, Mr. Comas in the studio with us. If you're listening right now, I'll probably...
Our kids have moved out of the house. Now we're just an old couple hanging out.
I guess. I guess if that's how you want to put it. Assuming I'm just assuming I'm the wife in this.
It's 2021,
bro. An equal rights podcast.
Yeah. I don't care.
Are we coming out as a podcast right now?
Yeah.
Me and Tucker secretly been married this entire time.
The whole time. You should have seen the looks on your idiot faces.
You didn't wish me a happy Mother's Day. I'm a little upset about that.
Yeah, it's my bad. Did the kids?
No.
I didn't think so. We didn't raise them right.
No. But no, if you're listening to this, and I'll probably tweet it out at some point and get some, like, okay approval from the boss, man. But if you're listening to this, third mic's open. So if you want to send me a resume, talk to me, DM me or Tucker, get in here, see if you want to be a part of the Fan Run Radio
family.
Shoot
your shot.
Doors open. It's an open door policy. I told that to everyone who was leaving, Alex and Folky. Obviously, Folky used his open door policy already. You only get once. So sorry, Folky.
Everybody gets one.
But no, open door policy is always. So if you want to try to be a member of the Fan Run family, No promises, but go ahead and send me or Tucker a resume. I'm going to talk to Bossman, see if we can figure something out. Love you, Tucker, but I don't want to do a two-person show every single
Forever.
Day.
Forever, yeah. And I would like to get back to my chair.
Yeah.
I would train you on this right here. You could be the producer.
I have three screens in front of me. That's way too many
it's
screens
too
for
many.
My anxiety.
I have two and a board, so technically, sure. I have three things in front
Plus
of me.
Plus the phone, you got five.
I got the phone? God. I mean, it's blowing off the hook right now.
It's leaving everyone
on
hold.
Good Lord.
Couple trending topics that are a little bit of breaking news. The Memphis I-40 bridge, the Hernando de Soto, I apologize if I'm butchering that pronunciation, the bridge is shut down for a crack in the bridge.
Oh, no.
So if you're in Memphis, don't drive over that bridge. It's been shut down for a crack in the bridge. The Arkansas Department of Transportation shut down the interstate bridge that connects to Tennessee after they found a crack in said bridge. So,
Lord.
You don't want that happening.
That's no good.
Bridge is A, supposed to be connected, and B, an old lady game. You can't have cracks in either of those.
No.
Crack doesn't belong with old ladies, and cracks don't belong on bridges.
Not at all. Like, that's a bit worrying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's in Memphis, so.
So they're going to fix it?
I don't know. It's breaking news, man. I'm assuming so, but again, I always say this, not to get political, but the two politicians that are supposed to be kind of, I don't know, would be fixing this, are really against the new president's infrastructure bill,
uh-huh.
which would, I have no idea what it entails. I'm not trying to do a lecture here or anything, but it would fix cracks in bridges. That's the definition of what infrastructure repair is.
Yep, sure, sure.
So if you're against the infrastructure repair bill, normally not going to help out when you have a crack in your bridge that you're going to need an infrastructure bill to repair it. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Not to get political, but that's the main takeaway from here is how are they going to fix it with what money? What's going to go down? Especially it connects Arkansas to Tennessee, so it's going to be an interesting little border battle. See who steps up and fixes the bridge, who fixes the crack.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little healthy competition will do that bridge some good. You know, maybe and both cities or both, you know, states will start on one end.
Mm-hmm. Meet in the middle.
Whoever, it's like a tug of war. If you build over half, you win. And the other team, you know.
And you better not congratulate anybody on Arkansas for building a good bridge.
No chance, because they're traitors. They're awful. They don't have heart. God.
Such a bad take. Such a bad take.
It's not a good take.
Going back to sports, Fernando Tatis Jr. has tested positive for COVID-19 as of 2 hours ago. He's asymptomatic, but obviously will not be playing because he has tested positive for COVID. Injury prone. I say it all the time. Dude's injury prone. Cannot get away from the IL.
Wow. That's your take?
He can't.
He
has yet to play a completed season. He's got injured this year already. Now COVID too. Like, weak.
I get that you're joking, but it really is kind of frustrating for the Padres, though. Mm-hmm. Like, your best player.
It's probably frustrating for the baseball watchers and people like that who
I don't watch
any baseball or keep up with anything, and I can just say these random takes, and sometimes they come true.
Yes.
Just like the Reds thing that I have been on for a couple of minutes. The Mike Trout thing is obviously a joke. Mike Trout's not overrated.
He's really good.
He hasn't won a championship yet. He's like a Russell Westbrook.
He doesn't have any team accomplishments.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And so that's why I like saying that.
He's the opposite of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's like the A-Rod thing. I like calling Aaron Rodgers A-Rod because it makes Alex mad.
It did make him very angry. Like, I don't know if he picked up on that you were joking. He did later, I think. But the audible just... Every time. It was like, if you wanted to get under his skin, just call him A-Rod. That's all you had to do. He values Alex Rodriguez so highly that any thought that somebody else would have the same nickname drove him mad.
Speaking of A-Rod, did you see the
I don't get mad at Pat Sajak, you know? He goes by Pat.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, people can have other names, bro.
Yeah,
your favorite athlete doesn't have a monopoly on a name, mm-hmm. Alex. Grow up.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I 100% agree. Speaking of A-Rod, though, the A-Rod, not Aaron Rodgers. We already talked about
Rodriguez.
Aaron Rodgers today. Aaron Rodriguez. No, Alex
Aaron Rodriguez.
Alex
yeah.
Rodriguez.
Okay.
Alex Rodgers, Aaron Rodriguez. No, Alex Rodriguez, the J-Lo situation. Been keeping up with the J-Lo situation at all?
Oh, I have.
So
and
many people are mad at Ben Affleck. Many people are mad at J-Lo. Many people don't realize A-Rod was cheating before then.
True.
Like, that
it's
was
true.
That was the first thing that came out with their breakup. Like, 3 weeks ago before any...
Don't be unfaithful.
Like me, Gen Zer, a guy who keeps up with the timeline, knew that this was going down 3 weeks ago before anybody talked about it, especially the drive. They're, I don't want to be mean and call them old heads, but they're old heads. They're a little older than us, and now they're talking.
We're punching up right here.
And they're pooping on J-Lo, and they're pooping on Good Will Hunt and Ben Affleck.
What?
The man with the best back tattoo in all of acting.
Also, his accent's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The Boston accent rocks.
I mean, he's the most relatable actor.
Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
With the pictures of picking up those different Dunkin' Donuts and Amazon packages.
The guy looks like he's kind of been going through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he kind of had a little, you know, it's coming up for him a little bit.
What's the, I don't know what it's called. You might know what it's called. The famous dating app. You have to have like a certain number of followers.
Hinge?
Nope, that's just a dating app.
Okay, no, then I don't know.
There's a famous
dating app. I've just
seen
people talk about that one.
Yes, but Hinge is just a dating app for older people.
Oh, okay.
But, it's not Bumble or Twitter. It's Tinder. It's the perfect middle between like eHarmony and Bumble/Tinder. But anyways, he got...
Is it Luxy?
Sure, that sounds right.
That sounds right.
But he got unmatched on that app. I mean, he's been through it. He's been down in the dumps. A-Rod was apparently getting some side, and J-Lo was done with it. Like, how can you cheat on J-Lo?
Yeah, I've walked that scenario through my brain about like, 4,000 times.
I understand Bill Gates cheating on Melinda Gates. That makes sense to me. A-Rod cheating on J-Lo does not make sense to me.
No, I mean, bro, quantity ain't better than quality. You got one that's like, top five alive, bro. Just come on.
Yeah.
You saw the Super Bowl halftime show. I know you did.
He was probably looking at Shakira the whole time.
Like, well, yeah. He didn't deserve her. Ben Affleck deserves this. He's been through a lot. I am thrilled for Ben Affleck. I've been cheering him on since I found out about this. He deserves it. I don't think he was the best Batman, to be honest with you.
No, I think he was a terrible Batman.
He wasn't a great Batman. But I like him as an actor.
He is the better Affleck brother.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Casey?
Yeah, no. I mean, Casey was all right in Good Will Hunting, but...
Manchester by the Sea sucked.
I've not seen it, so I'll take your word for it.
It's supposed to be a very sad movie, and I was just dying laughing the whole entire time.
Right? I'm happy for him. Like, I was rooting for him, because the pictures of the paparazzi and him flipping the bird to the camera people, he needed this. He had a little rough time in the news, in the media, on Twitter. People were being very mean to Ben Affleck. I'm glad that that he's got a little comeuppance right here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I like Ben Affleck.
A-Rod's going to bounce back?
Yeah, he's A-Rod. Yeah, he's got a lot of money. I mean, he owns a baseball team.
He's trying to purchase the Timberwolves right now as well.
Trying to buy a basketball team. I mean, yeah, he'll be okay.
I agree.
He'll be all right.
Do you, any baseball news really keep up with other than Tatis? I try to give everyone a fair shake in terms of what sports they like. I'm not a giant baseball guy, so I haven't been keeping up. Is there any big headlines coming out of the world of baseball right now?
Big headlines? Not really.
I mean, Wade Miley threw the no-hitter. I wanted to talk about that yesterday, but we didn't get to
that
it.
Was...
Hey, congratulations.
Pretty cool.
Reds pitcher throws a no-hitter.
Pretty cool.
Put him on the map. You get the win, all of those things. It's great. I do want to talk about the no-hitters in baseball, though. Is it turning into the triple-double? Now, obviously, very different stats, and I'm not trying to argue triple-double versus no-hitter, but Russell Westbrook breaks the all-time triple-double record last night, but he's been doing it so long, and obviously no-hitters translate to wins, so stick with me here, but it hasn't translated to wins, it hasn't translated to a lot of things of merit. Is a no-hitter just like that to where it's become so common so far this season that it might lose its flair here shortly? Like, I don't think it's lost it yet, but this is the fastest you've ever seen four.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time ever that four has happened before May has ended, and it was on May 5th, May 6th, May 7th, or something like that. Like, it's a very early date for the most no-hitters before May ends. You know what I mean? Like, I
think it has to do with the shift.
Really?
I think the shift becoming more prevalent. Like, right now, batters are hitting, like, overall as a league, it's like .234, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, not good. Not good as a league. I mean, that's pretty close to Mendoza line. It's over the Mendoza line, but it's not, I mean, not that great.
I don't know what the Mendoza line means. I
always 200.
I just thought that was a geography term.
No, the Mendoza line, if I'm correct, I'm not a baseball nerd, but from what I've understood...
I'm no Folky, but...
Yeah, like, no, Folky, if Folky was here, I would be much more confident saying this, because he would say yes. I'm pretty sure it's 200. If you're over 200, you're above the Mendoza line. If you're below the Mendoza line, you're trash.
See, I thought the Mendoza line was like the San Andreas Fault. Like, I thought that was like a certain line in California. I thought it was like another name for the equator or something like that.
It sounds like something like that.
Yeah.
The Mendoza line.
My take is,
And yeah, the cutoff point for the Mendoza line is 200. Yes.
My take and my conspiracy theory is, or not conspiracy theory, I guess my really bad take. I'll just go ahead and phrase it like that. Like, it's going to be a bad take. It's not. Steroids. Put him back.
Okay.
Like, just put him back in the game.
I would be on board with it. You can't get crazy.
No hitters would stay the same, but if you do make contact, it's going out of the park.
Right. You can't go. I don't think you can go nuts with it. I don't think you can.
No, mandate them.
Yeah, you've got to have some sort of regulations.
Everyone has to do steroids.
Mandate steroids.
Everyone has to do steroids.
Okay. Pitchers?
Everyone has to
throwing 105 now?
Everyone has to do steroids.
Aroldis Chapman on steroids might be terrifying. He might, like, his arm might be classified as a weapon with the ATF.
It might be.
If you
already
can throw a football 200 or a baseball 200 miles an hour, he'd throw it through concrete. I don't think we can allow him to go on steroids. He's already throwing 102 kind of like it's nothing. So
people would start just like getting I mean, it's a common knowledge thing that people with Down syndrome are usually stronger. I see this one guy on TikTok who's very famous, who's like he wants to be a pro wrestler, and yeah, he'll just body slam his dad, who's 10 times bigger than him all the time. Like, he might go see how strong you can have someone throw the ball like that instead of doing steroids, but I think steroids is just the easy answer.
Yeah. I mean, Folke's idea, he told us the other day, was to ban the shift. That would get rid of...
You're playing defense. You know what I mean? Like, I understand playing your position.
Yes,
but that's literally the definition of defense.
Yeah,
like,
but
you're
talking about
defense.
More no-hitters. Teams are playing defense now, if that's how you want to call it. Like, teams, you know, reading into... what's the word I'm looking for? Whatever. Tendencies on hitters in the box and stuff like that.
Analytics.
Like, yes, analytics, where a guy tends to hit the ball, if he's a pull hitter, a push hitter, if he hits it down the middle, if, you know, if he's pretty balanced. Like, they kind of know if you're making contact and pitchers pitch towards the shift. They you know, pick their places, mm-hmm, where they want the pitch to land to get a ground ball into a double play, stuff like that. Like, they're world-class, you know, they're good at what they do.
See, I thought they just tried to throw strikes.
Oh, no. No. You paint those corners. So, I mean, that's just why I think pitchers are getting better. Hitting, I think, is staying the same, or it's turned into a what used to be, you know, if you were a strikeout or a home run guy, that was more frowned upon. You want to get on base. You want to, you know, get around the lineup. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, if you're either a home run or strikeout, that's not as frowned upon. Like Aaron Judge, look at Giancarlo Stanton, like guys like that. That's kind of embraced more, mm-hmm, in the modern MLB. Mm-hmm.
So. And finally, before we get out of this segment, quickly, I just want to shoot the crap about Tennessee opening the season on a Thursday this year. Your thoughts? Only other game that's
Ohio State
versus Minnesota. We'll be on the SEC Network. It's Bowling Green.
It's going to be at 8 p.m. It won't be nearly as hot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll have to do a radio show during it.
Not during, but right up until. We'll get to do a little pregame.
Good point by you.
Unless we get bumped, which of course we very well
100% we're going to get bumped. We might get fired by then.
Yeah, like that's true. We don't really need to count all our chickens before they hatch. Yeah, hopefully we're just maybe hanging on.
Oh no, I like it. I
have no problem.
I was in between. I definitely don't think it's a bad move. I don't know if it's a great move, but like more eyes are more eyes.
Yeah,
I think you're going to get the same amount of viewership regardless, because Tennessee fans are going to want to watch the opening game of this new regime. But more eyes are more eyes. If you put it, I would be better. I would be happier if it was on ESPN instead of SEC Network,
sure,
like we would be anyways. But it's still. More eyes are more eyes. It's mm-hmm, it's good to have the brand being watched. Speaking of the brand being watched, Tucker, tell the people what they can catch tonight at 9:45 p.m.
All right. Well, I have, if you remember, in the past, me and Will played a little bit of on Twitch.
NBA 2K.
Played some NBA 2K. Played a little bit of, I played some golf with some other guys. Billy Wilford, as everybody knows. Tonight, we're cranking up MLB The Show 21 for the first time.
I don't know if this is going to be a Wii thing.
Us as a community.
No, I was meaning Xbox. It's probably going to be Xbox.
Okay.
Not Wii.
Okay, you're right. True. It'll be on an Xbox. I got the brand new Xbox. We're going to be running the stream on tonight. It's going to run smooth as butter. Will might be dropping in to give some color commentator in the booth with me.
I'll have to find my microphone and make sure everything still works. It's been a minute since I played. You're the last person I played online games with, if that shocks you at all.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
I'm a big introvert. I don't.
Gotcha.
Even if I'm playing like Fortnite or something where you're supposed to talk to people, won't turn on my microphone. So
gotcha.
It might take a second to make sure I find everything.
That's fine.
But yeah.
9:45 tonight. Fox Sports Knoxville on Twitch. Look that up. Go to my Twitter at Tucker2_Holt. You'll see the tweet. Links in the most recent tweet I've tweeted.
Sure, Fan Run Radio will retweet the stream.
Yep. Nate Hodges has retweeted it. The Fan Run, the station has retweeted it. Just go to one of those accounts. You'll see the link on there. Click that. Give it a follow at 9:45 when I go live. You'll get a notification.
Shout out Michael Skarn.
It's
going to
be
right
fun tonight. Oh, yeah.
It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. Today's going to be a little bit different. We're going to figure out how to do the birthday game with only two people. We'll probably have three people in here every now and then throughout the week, but we will have two-person shows. That's going to be a regular occurrence here. So we're going to figure it out, but today we're just going to go normal theme, normal format. I'm just going to hint at this person, and you got to guess them. Does that work with you,
yeah,
Tucker?
That's what me and Tanner Carson used to do back in the day.
Fair enough. Baseball player / dude who had a movie made about him. May 11th, 1964, Santa Ana, California, 57 years old today. MLB outfielder who made headlines when he announced that he was gay in 1999. Started his career with the I'm assuming this is the same person. I could be way wrong.
Okay.
They just have a very similar name, but I'm assuming this is the person. He started his career with the Detroit Tigers in 1987. After announcing his sexual orientation, he wrote a book called Going the Other Way, Lessons from a Life in and Out of Major League Baseball. I thought this was the same person that the movie that had Jonah Hill in it was about.
Oh, Moneyball or War Dogs? What's he in? What I don't know. I don't know what War Dogs
is
not baseball.
Not a baseball movie.
It's not baseball. I thought Jonah Hill.
Moneyball is the proper movie.
Okay.
What's that dude's name?
I've not seen Moneyball, to be honest
really?
With you.
Really? BB.
I'll
give you a hint. The B word is associated with baseball, and it's not bat.
Okay. It is,
it's not Bach.
Benjamin.
It's not bass.
Barry Box.
Billy Bean.
Okay.
I thought
Billy
that was the
Bean,
same.
I
thought that was the
yes.
same person, but then it said, I don't know if the same person also.
The name still works.
Yeah. So
Billy Bean.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know that name.
I have no idea if it's the same person.
Okay. I like the confidence of you just rolling it, though.
I saw the name. It was the only baseball name I recognized.
All
but
right.
Shout out Billy Bean. First, I'm assuming, probably one of the first gay athletes of his generation, a very milestone player right there.
Yeah.
Opened the door for a lot of guys. So
a
shout out Billy Bean. Shout out Billy Bean.
Very cool.
A lot of football players today, so we'll get through them real quick. Football player, May 11th, 1989, Atlanta, Georgia, 32 years old, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. He won a Heisman Trophy at his second college after leaving this college. He went from SEC school to SEC school, and then he ended up shattering 9 rookie records with the Carolina Panthers after being drafted first overall in 2011.
Newton.
It is Cam,
it's Cam
Newton.
Newton. Took me a, I was like, is that Cam Newton? And then you said SEC school to SEC school, and I was like, huh? Mm-hmm. And I forgot. He was at Florida, was he not?
Yes, he was at Florida.
Yeah,
he was
okay.
part of the all murder squad.
Yeah.
He was part of Urban Meyer's team. Why not
yes.
bring Cam Newton in instead of Tebow?
I guess maybe
have to pay him more than what the Patriots are paying him.
Probably would, yeah. And is he really? Granted, he's better than Tim Tebow.
I like to think that he could probably be a pretty good tight end. Like he has the body size. He's 6'5" something and is insanely athletic, but that's just my thought. May 11th, 1988, another football player, Chesterfield, Missouri. This one's going to be a little harder to guess, but you definitely have seen, know this name. He was a wide receiver who was selected by the Philadelphia Eagles in the first round of the 2009 draft. He spent 6 seasons with the Eagles before signing with the Kansas City Chiefs in 2015. 2017, he joined the Baltimore Ravens. Wide receiver who played football at the University of Missouri, where he set the freshman yardage record for most all-purpose yards in a single season. Played wide receiver, kick return, and punt return specialist for the Tigers from 2007 to 2008.
Albert Wilson?
J.M.
J.M.? Oh, my.
Number 18, I believe.
Yeah, Jeremy Maclin.
Jeremy Maclin, yes.
Yep. I forgot about old Jeremy Maclin being on
the
Chiefs.
He was my favorite wide receiver.
Yeah.
And those, probably Madden 10, I think, was the game.
He was really good.
It was his rookie season. Madden 11 as well. It was his second year. He was a baller.
He was a bright spot in a dark time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were not very good when we had Jeremy Maclin, but we were so bad that I thought Jeremy Maclin was an elite receiver. He was good.
Yeah, he was only
he was
two
all right.
years. Yeah.
He was okay.
May 11th, 1983, speaking of guys who people thought were elite, Santa Ana, California as well, 38 years old, Heisman Trophy winner as well, but from 2004 with USC. He was selected 10th overall by the Arizona Cardinals, one of the bigger slides in the draft.
Is that – no, that's not who I think it is because he played in 2005.
drafted by the Cardinals in 06 in the NFL draft.
Oh, it's
He lost to Vince Young.
It's Carson.
No, it's not.
No, not Carson. What is his name?
ML.
Matt Leinart. Yeah, there it is. Well, who was I thinking of?
Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer was who I was thinking of, but I was seeing Matt Leinart in my head.
Another USC quarterback here. Again, another one you know the name of. May 11th, 1993. Bakersfield, California, 28 years old. Quarterback who played college football at the University of Southern California before being drafted by the Cleveland Browns in the third round of the 2016 NFL Draft. He was named MVP of the Las Vegas Bowl in 2013. He was named Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week three times in 2014. He was the backup to Matt Barkley during his first season. CK.
USC quarterback. Is he in the league still?
I think so. I think he's still on the Browns roster, but I could be
mistaken.
Like
a backup?
Yeah. I mean, he never got started. Yeah. He started a game, but he never got starting time.
I gotcha. CK.
Give up?
Yeah, go ahead.
That would be Cody Kessler.
Cody Kessler.
Again, another name.
I forgot that he was
about
a USC quarterback.
Yeah. May 11th, 1988, Washington, D.C., 33 years old today. Has her listed as model and TV personality who gained fame when she became close friends with Kim Kardashian. She appeared in Nicki Minaj and Kanye West music video for Monster. She was the one who broke the heart of one Rob Kardashian.
Is that Blac Chyna?
It is Blac Chyna.
All right.
Look at you.
Boom. I know you, some stuff.
You know your models.
I know some stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I'm good with the models.
How are you with artists?
Painters?
Yes.
Unless they're a big name, I'm probably not getting it.
May 11th, 1904. Wow, this one broke my brain. Did not realize he was alive all the way until January 23rd, 1989, at the age of 84, from Spain. Surrealist artist who's known for such works as his paintings, The Persistence of Memory, which depicts a melting clock, and other dreamlike images.
Salvador Dali.
It is. Fantastic movie, Midnight in Paris, if you haven't seen it before.
Is it about Salvador Dali?
It has him make a little appearance. Anthony...
Hopkins?
Nope. Can't think of the dude's name.
Okay.
Good actor, though. Plays him. Very, very,
okay.
Very, very good.
Gotcha.
Continue through these names real quick. Give me 1 second. Get them pulled back up. Not some solid names, but it definitely falls off a cliff very, very fast, like usual.
That's a common occurrence around here.
Almost always, man. Yeah, I don't think there's anybody I'm going to be able to get to that you would know. A lot of soccer players born today. I wish Alex was still here for it.
Nope. Gone but not forgotten. and I will not get those.
Yeah, not even a basketball player you would know. Maurice Harkless, would you have known?
God, no.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, Harkless, yes, but I wouldn't have guessed him. You know what I mean?
Mo Harkless.
Yeah. Like, the name, sure, I recognize that name. I know he is an NBA player.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow. It'll be me and Tucker. Probably going to have a special guest from The Drive tomorrow. I don't know for sure, so I don't want to give the name out, but we might have a special guest tomorrow. If not, it'll just be me and you.
Fox Sports Knoxville on Twitch, 9:45. Be there. We love you guys.